Kellen's in! 1-1! The Revs answer right back. DeVio making the run. Oh, he lets it run, takes a shot, and gets a second goal of the game. That is a clinical finish by a terrific striker. And again, the Revs victimized by a long angle ball to Marco DeVio, who puts the finishing touch and gives the lead back to Montreal. Playoffs last year. This year, they are not going to, so that might limit his chances as the ball's played in behind for Justin Knapp, who's clean through. The speedy Justin Knapp into the box, takes a shot, and Bobby Shuttleworth makes the save with his foot. And they've only lost one out of their last nine, and right now it's just not going the Revs' way. But there is time to recover, nearly a quarter of the game to go as Caldwell wins it. Trying to take matters into his own hands here, plays win, tries to chip the keeper. Oh my word! We win! We'll make highlight reels around the world! Superior skill!
That's the best tie in the world, huh? New England finishes the night in a draw with the Montreal Impact. Not the best of results, but it doesn't matter because New England, it is a time to think about November. Congratulations to the New England Revolution. They have clinched a playoff spot in the 2014 MLS playoffs, which come up in just a couple of weeks, folks. The final score, as I said, 617-237-1234. Calls courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet New England right there. Well, going into halftime, that was one of the ugliest games we've seen from the Revs in a while, huh? I was not pleased. Jay Heaps was not pleased. The fans were not pleased. Again, Bobby Shuttleworth stands on his head, and you heard it right there. He made an incredible save in the 52nd minute. And to quote Craig Ford, who joined us on MLS from MLSsoccer.com, who joined us on New England Soccer Weekly earlier today, that 52nd minute save by Bobby Shuttleworth one-on-one versus Justin Knapp looming large could have sunk the NE Revs with that chance, instead has given them life. And it did, because coming down on the other end, Lee Wynn scores. And you equalize, you tie, you finish the night in a draw, 2-2. The first time that this season you were able to pull points when trailing at halftime. That's the other important thing for tonight. The Revs went in trailing 2-1. Typical fashion, too, in the past when they went into a halftime deficit, dead, lifeless, you're screaming at the TV saying, do something. Where is this team going offensively? They weren't playing like a team, as Paul Mariner said. Jermaine Jones took on a different role tonight, too, so it was a very weird game. And the most recognizable thing on the night that is going to get Jay Heaps killed in the media this week, I can feel it already. I can see the writers getting their pens out and getting their questions ready for Jay on Monday or Tuesday, whenever these guys get back into practice. Why'd you sit Andrew Farrell? The injury report read Charlie Joseph out, Stephen McCarthy out, Louis Sofner out. That's what the injury report read on Thursday. There was nothing that leading into to this game today that led you to believe that Andrew was not fit to play, at least that we know of. And yeah, I mean, the playoffs are coming up, and the man has played every game with the exception of tonight and the opener. Season opener against Houston. He's played every game this year. So you want to be able to give him a rest, make sure he's ready for that next level. But his presence, his absence, it's noticeable. And it's not even just Andrew Farrell not even being there, that was the problem. Or him not even being on the 18. I'm not even that mad at that. What I'm really frustrated with and confused by is, why'd you start Kevin Alston? Why would you start Kevin Alston over Darius Barnes? I've got nothing. I didn't think Kevin Alston had a great night. I think the two goals that DeVio got was just a matter of... And it's not that Alston's a bad player. He's had a tremendous comeback in his career. But why would you start a guy that's barely gotten minutes this year? I'm looking it up right now. It's Alston's got 9 games. Coming into tonight, he had 553 minutes, Kevin Alston did. And you have Darius Barnes, who sits right above him, who's got 1,500 minutes, 1,538 minutes. Darius Barnes started in 15 games this year. So why are you starting a guy that hasn't had a lot of minutes? That was confusing to me. And that led to be honest, miscommunication. The back line all out of sorts. I did not think A.J. Soares and Kevin Alston worked well at all with each other tonight. Not trying to come down hard on Kevin Alston here. Again, he hasn't had the same run that Darius Barnes has. And maybe Jay's just trying to give the guy a chance. He's a seasoned professional. But he had a terrible, terrible first half. And I think really the entire team had a terrible first half. You know, without the Kellen Rowe goal, I mean, you're going into that halftime down 2-0, and you probably lose tonight's game. And then you're like sitting there going, why? Oh, you know, now we really have to pull points in Houston. At least you clinched a playoff spot tonight. You might not have been able to completely pull within a couple of points of DC, which, whatever. We always said that it was going to be hard for this team to finish in first this year. But at least you were able to get a result tonight. Charlie Davies, I thought, had a couple of... And you probably could have won a couple of times, too, if you had some shots on net. I mean, it wasn't the same offensive prowess that we've seen week to week. But it was much better towards the end of the game. And I didn't mind Jay taking off Charlie for Pat. I thought it was more interesting that he decided to put Pat Mullins on, because I just thought that you would have gone with a little bit more height there, maybe, too. You know, why not go with a guy like Tony Taylor, who was sitting on the bench tonight? Semantics, sure. But I just think, you know, you respect the way that Jay finishes out the night with, you know, we're not going to kill ourselves here. I didn't think they clearly weren't going for the win. They were happy. We had to get the tie. We just have to get in. They got in now. Now make a statement here. How do you bounce off of this tie? This team doesn't tie much. All right, you got 49 points on the year now. You're 15-13-4. You got two ties on the road now. But you're still 5-9-2. Team does not perform well on the road. This team still scares me on the road. Jermaine Jones, I told you a couple of weeks ago, his attitude is something to monitor. And I think it stuck out tonight. He was clearly frustrated with the way that he was being focused on by the opposing players of Montreal. And he was going at Montreal too. I did not think Jermaine Jones played the best of games tonight. To be honest, it reminded me of when Jermaine was playing in Columbus. And somehow it came down to this. You have an MVP caliber player on your roster that gets you this result tonight. An MVP, an MV Lee. And Lee Wynn. And that is why you got the tie. It's because of Lee. It's not because of Jermaine. Jermaine had an awful, awful... Excuse me. He had an awful finish to the game for sure. But he did not just look like the guy that has dominated in big moments. Still undefeated when this guy starts, but I mean it's the more impactful player here is still Lee Wynn. Just had the number here. Their record now when this guy scores or assists is 12-1-2. He's your production. He is your point man right now. He's the guy that
It's not if Jermaine Jones, obviously if Jermaine Jones isn't doing the work, it makes Lee Wynn's job much harder. But if you can get at least get 90% from the other guys, Lee Wynn is able to at least facilitate and do something. And that's why you were able to equalize tonight, is because Scott Caldwell allowed him to find that space. What a great ball by Scott Caldwell. And again, he proves why he's an essential player in this system. Now, I'm not upset with that that Jay decided to start Daigo over Scott. Daigo, first off, amazing. He's another Iron Man. He's played in like practically every game this year for the Revs. So you have to give it to him for you know, sticking it through here. Daigo Kobayashi is really one of the centerpieces of this team for Jay. He's now started 22 games in 32 games played. And I mean, he's a solid player, but I don't think he works well with Jermaine in that system. And it was for a night, I think, and you saw how impactful Scott was when he came on. Made a huge difference on the night. Again, 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. What else is important on the night? Well, let's just go down the goal list for a second. Marco Devaio opened up the goal scoring on the night in the 12th minute from Callum Malice. And again, it was Devaio that was finding space. Like, he was able, like, that first goal was just a matter of Alston and Soares not being able to communicate. I mean, he was just able to find an incredible amount of... he was just in great position that first goal. So, I mean, just give it to the fact that... I mean, Devaio is just a world-class player, and he knows how to read defenses. And Kyle Malis plays a perfect ball to him. And, you know, Montreal's on the board in what was a sloppy first 15 minutes of the game. But the Revs were able to pick up the ball off of a turnover from Montreal, down 1-0, and it was a critical moment in the game because it was a test to see if Kevin Alston could continue on. Because you remember after the Devaio goal that Alston went down for a couple minutes, and you were like, oh, geez, you know, not a great start for Kevin Alston. He's now hurt. Can he continue the game? Can he finish? How is he going to play? Jay doesn't have many options. The Revs go three in the back for the last 75 minutes of this game. And Austin's able to pick up the ball off a turnover. It's played up to Charlie Davies. Davies finds Rowe. Rowe in the middle is probably the best when it comes to just finishing. I mean, when the guy's in the run of play and he's got a clear shot on net right directly in front of the keeper, the guy has, first off, the best accuracy, the best finishing. He's clinical. And it's not just Lee Wynn that deserves U.S. men's national team's looks, or Jermaine Jones, who's going to get called down to Florida and he's going to play with the U.S. next Tuesday. That was officially announced today. But Kellen Rowe is one of the best in the game when it comes to getting those balls in. So we'll talk with Frank Talapa up next, get his thoughts on the night. Still want to get your thoughts as well. Hit the podcast up on Twitter, at Podcast Invaders, to get your questions in and call us. 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. Frank Talapa up next. Go nowhere. .15-10 WUFC. Welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. Yeah, it is the glory days for the New England Revolution, heading back to the playoffs. Not baseball. I mean, not, come on, Bruce. But huge 2-2 draw tonight. It's the best tie of the season for the Revs. They're now 15-13-4, 5-9-2 on the road. Doesn't matter that it wasn't the ugly and not prettiest of games. It gets them into the playoffs, which is the glory days for the Revs. Back-to-back playoff appearances. Been a while since we've been able to say that. And Frank Talapa knows a lot about the Revs going to the playoffs. He joins us now in the post-match report. Frank, how we doing?
Hey, good. Good, Tom. Good to be with you.
So, playoffs-bound New England Revolution. It sounds something familiar to you for sure.
Yeah, I guess it's... some ups and downs in the last few years, but now they seem to be okay. Yeah, it was. Well, you know what? When the team started, you know, in the '90s, this was like a rare thing. I think we made it once in the first 5 years, this and that. So you know, I'm kind of used to them not being expected to make it. And I think in the last 4 years, maybe 5 years, they weren't necessarily expected to make it because it's a little tougher now than it was, you know, back when the league started to make it into the playoffs. But they obviously deserved to make it this year, and I think they kind of played that game out today for a draw, but you know, most of the time, and I think it's been a really good tactic, is they've gone for wins, and I think only three teams have more wins, maybe than them in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's DC, Seattle, and LA, and it's because, you know, because the Revs haven't tied, and they, as you said, Frank, it's because they go for the win constantly. That it's that mentality that's been able to put them over the hump. And to be honest, Frank, you know, even though this team lost 9 out of 10 at one point in the year, that the number of wins that they have, they're able to salvage that. Jay Heaps, though, I mean, he continues to progress this team, you know, through a developmental stage and through a regular season stage. They seem like they're ready. They seem like they belong now. What do you think? How do you think that translates to the playoffs when you got to bring it to another level and you have to get to that gear that they didn't get to in Kansas City last year?
Yeah, right. I think it's all matchups now, you know, who they get matched up with. That is, I think, trying to get into second place is pretty key, you know. I think Jay was trying to get them to go for the win at the end there. They probably should have taken maybe one more stab at it because that could be a difference, you know, if they finish in third or second. And it seemed like they kind of let it draw, you know, just play out just to get into the playoffs. But they might need those points. When it comes down to it, it's kind of hard to say until we see who they're matched up with, what gear they're at now. I don't think they were quite ready to play this game. If it was a playoff game, they might have paid for that. You know, for some reason, they just didn't start out motivated or on the right, you know, in the right gear or whatever it has to be. But I think it'd be different if it was a playoff game, too. Then, you know, the adrenaline is definitely flowing and guys are ready to go. And I don't think they quite were today, but to get a 2-2 out of that with a really slow start was, you know, that's pretty actually positive.
I thought the holding midfield play was a little bit awkward tonight for the Revs because you're so used to seeing Jermaine Jones playing in an advanced position, but he sat back a little bit more tonight, I thought, Frank, and it might have hurt the Revs a little bit because he wasn't attacking the ball as much as we're used to him seeing. Why do you think Jay approached with that tactic tonight opposed to, you know, really letting him go for it?
Yeah, I don't know if that was, you know, planned out that way. Maybe it just happened. That's a good question because he was really withdrawn. You know, he came way back a lot. Maybe it was because Montreal was pressuring him so much. I mean, they really put two guys on him and didn't let him go where he wanted to go and contested him all the time, you know, and he can take care of himself out there, but just to get to the ball, you know, that might have been the reason. I'm not sure if it was planned that way. We'll maybe Jay will talk about that and we'll find out.
Do you think his character, or did it anything concern you on the end of his performance when it came to his personality on the night? Because, you know, there were some times there this evening where I thought you saw him, you know, step a little bit out of his element for what we're used to seeing him do here with the Revs since he came on. Just undisciplined in certain areas this evening. Do you think that's something that's lingering and concerning, or do you think he was just trying to, you know, rub off a bad grudge?
Yeah, I was part of that. I think it was just kind of self-defense out there. It gets a little rough in the MLS, you know, and it's not sophisticated. You know, they're just really hammering each other a little bit. So,
do you think they're targeting him more, Frank? Do you think they're really out to get him?
It seems like Montreal has been able to really kind of get on him. You know, they just seem to pressure him. You know, and it doesn't look too dirty or anything, but they make it rough on him, and he just kind of just fends for himself, you know. It looked like to me, I thought his touches were a little bit off, though, and that's kind of a rare thing. He didn't look quite right most of the night, but no, I think it was just him. It was just a midfield battle. You know, if you look back that was a game. It still didn't mean that much because the Revolution was going to make it into the playoffs anyway, and Montreal's obviously long gone. But it was pretty roughly contested, and the midfield was kind of a tough battles in there. So I think a lot of that stuff was just back and forth. You know, both guys, him against the world. You know, him against all the Montreal midfielders.
Frank DeLapa with us for a few more minutes. And, you know, now moving ahead now, Frank, we look to the importance of Houston. And because they're still fighting for their playoff lives, it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch with them. How do you think this game carries over to Thursday night when you got a quick turnaround? And you didn't see Andrew Ferrell in there, who we haven't talked about yet. I want to get your thoughts on that. The quick turnaround, really, for actually, we have talked about it, excuse me. Just a quick turnaround, though, on the night, though.
Yeah, I think maybe Jay Heaps is trying to save Ferrell maybe for that game. I think you got to pace these guys a little bit, and especially with games coming back to back like that. Houston's very physical, as you know, and that's a tough team that's really going to be coming at them, you know, strong. It's going to be a really physical game. So, you know, that Andrew Ferrell will probably have a prominent role there, and everybody that's in that game really have to sort of be ready to go. In the sense that you kind of have to play it hard, even though they're in the playoffs now, you know, just to survive a game like that, you know, you kind of have to match the intensity and the physicality that Houston's going to have. So that's going to be a rough game. Another one. I mean, these games down the stretch, it gets really tough. You know, it's pretty intense.
Did Bobby impress you at all more tonight than he has over the past several weeks? And I only ask that because he has really played well. I mean, he's one of the he's like 8-2-2 now over the last 12 games here. But I feel like he's been more composed and he's like more patient with his back line. Do you think he has continued to mature through this winning streak and the positive run the Revs have had?
Yeah, I think he's kind of stepped that up. He seems composed, and he also seems to have, he stepped it up in the last two games, too. There was a stretch there where he just really kind of helped carry the team, and not much he could do on the two goals today. And, he was good. I think he just gives him a lot of security back there, for sure. And I think that I've seen him make, like, a quantitative leap in his ability to kind of command the area and give security back there. I think I've seen that maybe. I don't know when it happened, but he definitely has it now, and he's right up there. So, yeah, it was a good game for him again, and you know, it was important because there were some tough, you know, little stretches in there, too, where Montreal was coming pretty hard at him.
Yeah, I mean, you had that 52nd-minute shot that, you know, if Bobby doesn't make that save, that's like a 3-1 game on that point. You know, who knows if the Revs are even able to pull themselves out of a two-goal deficit. They're able to at least get the draw on the evening. Going back to that save, though, I mean, that's a breakaway. That's a lapse in the defense, and he just shuts down. I forget who took the shot, but he shuts down the attacker there. And, looking at what, you know, the playoffs could mean, you know, there's times where in the playoffs where the defense could lose it. Do you think Bobby's able to make these big time saves consistently?
Yeah, I think that might have been Duka that cut through there. Yeah, he's been able to do that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was good. I mean, he's a commanding presence in there, and I don't know what other teams think of him, but certainly, you know, as a physical presence, he is that. So he's also, you know, he's really good on his set pieces and that sort of thing, too, because it's just a psychological thing for the other team because they know they've got to get through, you know, a pretty physical guy back there who's pretty aggressive. And his positioning's been really good, too. So, yeah, in the playoffs, that's, you know, we were talking about, you know, how is the Revolution going to do? Hey, a lot of times it comes down to, like, one really good performance by a goalkeeper to either, you know, kind of save you or to push you through, and you just don't know who's going to be the hot goalkeeper, but you know that's going to be a key if he can do that.
He's Frank DeLapa. Frank, always great. Thank you very much for your time, and it's a quick turnaround to Houston, so we'll see how they do when they head down south. All right.
Good, Tom. Okay. Good talking to you guys.
Good talking to you as well, Frank. As always, Frank DeLapa. joining us on the Revolution postgame show on 1510 WUFC. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Postgame show, post-match show, tomato, tomato, whatever. Thanks again to Frank for coming on, though. And I thought he made a lot of great points about Bobby. Just being a continuing to shine and show you why he was one of the highly touted backups in MLS for a while. Remember, this guy played behind Matt Rhys for years, and he was always, you know, trying to overcome this battle. We talked about it earlier with Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com. The guy was able to put himself in a position where he is, for all things considered, now a true, reliable keeper in this league. I don't think that his distribution stats would tell you that, oh, wow, he's, you know, really one of the upper echelon guys in this league. But over the course of this season, even though this team lost 9 out of 10, even though that Bobby's had poor performances where he's given up 4 goals, he's given up 5 goals, he's had some really ugly goals that he's given up. You know, you think about the free kicks that Higuain has had against him. But other than that, I really don't think you can kill Bobby. I think you have to praise him more than you can kill him. He earned the right to be the keeper for this team this year. He doubled his win total from 2013 to 2014. And again, he's a huge part of the reason why you're in the playoffs. So why do people continue to kill him? Why do people not continue to trust Bobby Shuttleworth? I don't get that. He's going to be a huge part of this team. And as Frank said, if you have a good goalkeeper, you're going to be doing fairly well heading into the stretch run of it. But his defense has to, you know, be more reliable. You know, Bobby's sitting out on an island sometimes. It's more of his defense sometimes than it is Bobby. And tonight it was shown. Tonight it was shown. And again, Andrew Farrell needed the rest. You're thinking, you know, he's played a lot, but I'm not too worried about, are we going to see, is Andrew hurt or is there something lingering? I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the chemistry either, because once Andrew gets back out there, I mean, these guys will be back clicking again. I am worried that teams are finding ways, though, to get in behind guys like AJ Soares and Jose Gonsalves. I mean, it's drawing them out of position. It's drawing a guy like AJ Soares up to the center defensive mid role, where, you know, he's playing higher than Jermaine Jones. So tonight it wasn't perfect. It was definitely sloppy. The weather wasn't great either in Montreal tonight. I mean, it's two back-to-back crappy games that you've had to play here. You know, at least you're going down to Houston next week where it's a little bit more comfortable. You know, it's about 80 to 85 degrees down there this time of year. It's not going to be that, terrible of a game. But you have to be ready. You know, it's going to be a short week of training. I would say that you'd like to be back on the pitch as quick as possible. And actually, no, you know, I don't know if it's about being in the pitch or it's about being in the film room as much. Because it was more about a lack of connection, a lack of chemistry, and a lack of talking, a lack of communication. Because there were areas tonight where the Revs were, I mean, terrible where in terms of possession. You know, I think there was one point where Teal Bunbury's got it on the far post of the field on the TV cameras. It's the first half. Kellen Rowe sets him up, and like there's like four guys on one side, and nobody's moving. That was the problem. That sums up the Revs' first half. Nobody was moving to the net, and nobody was making, I don't think, challenging enough runs to really disrupt that back line from Montreal tonight, which is why they were able to advance the ball up the pitch so much. I mean, Montreal played much better at home this time around than when they were here a couple of weeks ago and played New England. That is for sure. I mean, this was much of a worse performance from New England. And it's ironic enough, the last time these two teams played, Rowe and Wynn scored. So they get it done again. The only difference is that Davies sets up Rowe's goal and
Caldwell sets up Wynn's goal. Rowe's goal the first time around against Montreal was unassisted. So, but Davey set up Wynn in that second goal, the insurance goal essentially, and the winner, I should say. And this time around, it gets set up from Caldwell to equalize the game. The first opening goal was set up by Charlie Davies. So there you go. 617-237-1234, 637 right now here in Quincy, Massachusetts. Again, the Revs, quick turnaround. You're down in Houston. And now, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about how Houston's going to bring the fire against the Revs? Because I'm a little cautious. They only lost 1-0 to New York. New York didn't look that great. Neither team really looked that great. But they can definitely play spoiler for New England, you know? It doesn't have to be a 4-0 win from Houston. Definitely won't be this time around. But they could definitely pull off a 1-0 result, 2-0, 2-1 result. Because, I mean, it's not because the Revs are incapable of pulling any points in Houston. It's just because I would say Houston is going to be ready for New England. I mean, they got to play. They have a shorter turnaround. They play tomorrow against D.C., but they're home. You know, they're back-to-back home games. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be that tired. And on top of that, too, I think New England remembers what happened down in Houston. And I don't know if, you know, they have fully recovered from that yet, because they still haven't said anything that's definitive that this team is a much better team on the road. Tonight didn't prove anything to me. Yes, you had a huge, massive win two weeks ago when you played Kansas City. But that doesn't excite you. That's the last thing that excites me. You're not. I just think it could be much better for this team on the road. I think they could play much better on the road. They're definitely not the same team when they're home, when they opposed to when they're on the road. I mean, when they're home, I mean, you got guys that make great overlapping runs. It doesn't feel like, especially since the Jones signing, you don't feel like that you're dead, especially if you give up the first goal. You've never felt that way with Jones here, really. But especially at home, more so. And that's why I've preached for a while, too, that home field advantage is so massive. Don't tell me that that it doesn't matter if this team finishes in second or third. That's absolute crap. If you're playing Kansas City here, if Kansas City's a 3 seed and New England's a 2 seed, you're going to tell me the Revs have a better chance of winning in Kansas City than they would at home? Stop it. That second game is massive. 9 wins at home ten. Don't tell me that this team doesn't need to be playing at home to win, because they do. They play much better on the home at home. And now they're unbeaten in their last three. See if they could put another unbeaten streak of at least, you know, of 5 results. You got 2 more left. Let's see if they can pull results here against Houston and Toronto. Because if you could do that, if you could pull, you know, the equivalent of 5 unbeaten runs or win streaks, that is that's really good for a team that was as miserable as the Revs in the middle of the summer. And you'd be in second place at the minimum for the playoffs. So you want to see guys get rested. You want to see, you know, starters be prepared for the playoffs. But trust me, this is a young enough team. You don't really need to sit as many guys as well. You know, Kellen Rowe is a capable midfielder at this point. World-class midfielder at that. And he is, for all things considered, deserves a lot more credit than he's gotten this year. How do you have been healthy? Forget about it. Because in important moments like that, he stepped up. Now his 5th goal of the year. As I said, if he was playing more, I mean, these numbers would probably be double. 617-237-1234. When we come on back, final thoughts on the night, and we will also take a look around the league. Come on back. I don't mind you hanging out.
talking in your sleep.
WUFC. Welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. 6:46 the current time. Revs draw on the evening 2-2. Clinch a playoff spot. Life is good in New England. Again, a thanks to Frank DeLapa for joining us. And, so, a tie. 13-4 now on the year, the Revs are. And, I'm not jumping up and down after tonight, but I'm relieved because it's a lot better than what it could have been. It could have been a 3-0 loss at times. You know, Bobby played great. He gave you some good chances. You can trust him, I believe, in the net now. Again, the goal's coming in the 12th minute from Marco DeVaio, from Callum Malice. Callum Rowe in the 16th minute from Charlie Davies. Marco DeVaio in the 39th minute from Andreas Romero, who another guy that had a good night on top of DeVaio, and Dilly Duca. The attack was really good for Montreal, much better than people give him credit for. Mariner kept on saying it throughout the night. That is a team that you can rely to be good next year. They're going to be a team that, even with Jack McInerney on the bench, on paper, they're not that bad. I mean, DeVaio is obviously going to retire, and he's not going to be back. 38 years old, the guy still got it. Probably could have played one more year, but he's not. And Lee Wynn scored in the 69th minute from Scott Caldwell. But, just real quick, wrapping up on Montreal. Not a bad team. Not terrible. Obviously, after tonight, they now go to 6-18-8 on the year with 26 points. So, they're stagnant in their year. But, they're going to be playing a CONCACAF Champions League game. They're playing very well in the CONCACAF Champions League. I'm pretty sure they're undefeated there, so. They're able to pull points tonight from the Revolution. They should have confidence moving forward. They're not a bad team, again, as I said. So, the most important thing if you're a Revs fan on the night is that, again, Bobby Shuttleworth was just massive. I can't emphasize it enough how good he was. Two saves, but, that's what MLSsoccer.com's giving him, but they were two massive saves because, they could have decided whether or not the Revs won this match this evening. And, it was a weird game the way it was balanced. The Revs actually finished with more possession than Montreal, and that was because at the end the Revs were able to get a grip on the game. And you heard Frank say, and I think I saw it as much, but the Revs at the end were going for it a little bit more. I think they had outpossessed actually in the final 5 minutes of the game, Montreal 56-44. So. They were able to get into a rhythm at the end of the game. Really, Montreal didn't have much of the game in their hands for anything at the end of that second half. It was pretty much all Revs. When you look at the five-minute intervals on MLSsoccer.com, you break it down. From the 65th minute on, the Revs essentially controlled the tempo of the game. I would say the average from the 65th minute to the 90th minute was about 52-48, 53-47% Revs. But it comes back to what I've said before, though. You didn't convert on anything really. It was a bad, sloppy night. It wasn't what we've seen from this Revs consistently since they've picked up Jermaine Jones. It's frustrating, but it gets the job done, right? Sure. And now you go on to Houston. And when you wonder what Houston's going to do tomorrow against DC, does anybody believe that Houston still can make a playoff run here? I think if they win tomorrow, they put themselves into a serious conversation. Obviously, it's not fun for the Revs because, you could have really made life uncomfortable for DC had you have won tonight and DC have lost tomorrow. The standings would have said DC's got 52 points and the Revolution have 51 points.
But, you know, they've made life really uncomfortable for Sporting Kansas City. New England has, at least. And at least, you know, you've put pressure on one team. Now, if DC was to lose on Sunday, tomorrow, and the Revs were to win on Thursday, well, now we've got a serious conversation here. Because, you know, New England's got 51 points, DC's got 52 points, and then you think to yourself, do the Revs have a chance to legitimately catch DC United with two games, with one game left against Toronto? Could you, on the last day, clinch first place? Because, I mean, first place would be, I mean, you know, you're playing against either Columbus or New York, and that's a toss-up because, you know, neither team has a grip on the season, and to be honest, Columbus has New York's number, so you know you could put yourself into the Eastern Conference hype, you know, theoretically, with the way that you played against Columbus the last time, you would believe that this team could now have the pieces to beat a team like Columbus. And if Columbus was to beat New York in the knockout round, the Revs were a one seed, and the Revs were to play the Columbus in the Eastern Conference semifinals, well, I'd feel confident. I feel good about the Revs playing against New York, too. I would rather not see a team like Sporting Kansas City in the first round of the playoffs. How great would it be if Columbus knocked out Sporting Kansas City in the knockout round, if Kansas City somehow dropped down to fourth place? Imagine how great would that be if that happened. DC's got Chicago and Montreal left, and we saw tonight that Montreal, the last day at home, too, they're going to throw everything out, and they have nothing to lose. They're going to go for the win on that day. So, I mean, huge, massive fixtures coming up, even though the Revs have clinched a playoff spot here, and we're thinking they're going to drop no less than third, they still have a lot of work to do, because you would like to see them, at the minimum, a two seed. I wouldn't want to see them as a three seed. Again, I can't emphasize enough how important home games are here for the New England Revolution. 10 wins on the year, all that needs to be said. So, if you can pull a result in Houston, and Houston beats DC tomorrow, we've got, with a game left against Toronto, it'll be a fun day down at Gillette to see how that thing plays out. Because here's the thing, too. You would also tie them on wins. So, yeah, it comes down to tiebreakers. And then, you know, you're making DC work more here. Essentially, it's not a walk on the in the park for Ben Olsen's crew at all, and they have to come out and play every single night. Still, everybody in the Eastern Conference has to come out and play every single night. It is a competitive conference. It's a good stand for the league right now, and it's a good sign for the playoffs, because it's a the playoffs have a bright future ahead of them this year. In terms of level of competition, everybody's essentially beaten everybody in this conference. I'm excited to see what November has to bring. And again, a congratulation to Jay Heaps and the New England Revolution. Contract extension time. Again, can't avoid it. Jay Heaps haters, sorry, you're put to bed. The guy's coming back for another year next year. He's probably going to be here for five more following that. They've got a plan. They're doing it the right way. And if this is the type of team that can consistently make it to the playoffs year to year, minus the nine out of 10 game losses, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with what Jay Heaps has done. And I think you got a guy like Jermaine Jones is happy. And maybe you're able to extend his contract as well. And this is going to be fun for Jermaine, because he's never been in a situation like this before. A playoff run? What is playoffs to German soccer players? You kidding me? This is going to be fun for Jermaine Jones. He's going to like this a lot, especially now that he knows that they clinched. Real quick, looking at the games for tonight. Coming up in 5 minutes here, Philadelphia will host Columbus. Huge, massive game, because you want to... I'd like to see Philadelphia win this one. I don't think they're going to, but, you know, Jim Curtin's got some playoff life still beating in his heart, so we'll see if they pull that off there. Another team's playing for big playoff implications tonight in a couple minutes will be New York and Toronto. That'll be a fun game to watch on the evening, because, I mean, New York is a team that I think will make the playoffs, but how strong are they going to be? How good is that team going to be down the stretch? So we'll see how that folds out tonight. Do you think Toronto still can make a push here? They're only a couple points behind. And then tonight in the West Coast, you got Real Salt Lake hosting San Jose. Another game that has playoff implications involving it, because if you got a team like Real Salt Lake that drops points here, you know, you got Dallas that can come up on the heels of Salt Lake and possibly jump to a 3 seed. Obviously, LA and Seattle aren't going to get caught. They both got 60 points, but 3, 4, and 5 look like this. Salt Lake's got 49 with a game to make up here, because, you know, Vancouver won yesterday and they got 32 games played. Same thing with Portland. But, you know, Vancouver's got, Salt Lake's, I mean, he's got 49 points with 31 games played. Dallas has got 48 points with 31 games played. Vancouver has 46 points with 32 games played. And Portland has 45 points with 32 games played. So if either Dallas or Salt Lake are to lose tomorrow, you think about the possibilities for Vancouver, the Whitecaps, and you know, where they could finish at the end of the year. I've got Carl Robinson going to the playoffs, man. You better believe it. That is going to happen for sure. But, again, Revolution are in the playoffs. That's all that matters right now, right? So 15, 13, and 4, 46 points. Now back in second place, jumping over Sporting Kansas City, who sits at 49 points, 14, 11, and 7. Revs are in second place. They're back in the playoffs. Lee Wynn and Kellen Rowe with the goals for New England. Marco DeVille with a brace for Montreal. I'm Tom Quinlan. Thanks again to Frank DeLapa for coming on. We'll be back next week when the Revs take on the Houston Dynamo. Follow us on Twitter @PodcastInvaders. Again, I'm Tom Quinlan. We'll see you next time. Bye.